Last month, NPR's Talk of the Nation invited listeners to come up with a motto for the new Department of Homeland Security. Some of the suggestions were lighthearted, such as, if we're still here, you're still here. Or, if it doesn't look like we're doing anything, we are. Other ideas were more serious. One listener said the motto should simply be September 11th, 2001. The president's proposal for the new department continues to work its way through Congress this week. The plan could affect close to 200,000 federal workers, a major rearrangement of priorities, people, and furniture. But it's not the first time something like this has been tried, and there might be lessons to learn from other reorganizations. So this morning you'll hear about the founding of two government agencies, which, like Homeland Security, were born in times of crisis.
Говорит Москва.
At the height of the Cold War, the U.S. and the Soviet Union were in a competition that sounds almost quaint today, the space race.
The first artificial Earth satellite was today successfully launched in the USSR.
Soviet superiority in space was a major national security concern. So after the launch of Sputnik, the U.S. government launched a new agency, NASA, to keep pace with the Soviets. But a few years later, in a speech to Congress, a new president set a higher goal.
I believe we should go to the moon.
Because going to the moon, President Kennedy felt, would beat the Soviets in the eyes of the world.
This is a good, sound, solid program that will keep all of the governmental agencies moving ahead.
This is tape of a 1962 meeting between Kennedy and some of the top brass at NASA. They're asking the same questions that have been raised about Homeland Security. How much can this new agency take on? What should it tackle first? Here's Kennedy asking about the lunar program.
Do you think this program is the top priority program of the agency?
No, sir, I do not. I think it is one of the top priority programs.
That's the then administrator of NASA, James Webb, saying he thinks NASA's focus should be broader.
There's a wide public sentiment coming along in this country for preeminence in space.
So we do have to talk about this, and I think that the policy ought to be that this is the top priority program of the agency and one of the two, except for defense, the top priority of the United States government. Otherwise, we shouldn't be spending this kind of money because I'm not that interested in space. I think it's good.
Someone who was also at that meeting was then general manager of NASA, Bob Siemens.
I think that meeting was very, very helpful. It forced all of us to think through what our objectives were.
Siemens says by focusing NASA on the moon, the president helped merge an assorted collection of engineers, researchers, and dreamers into one agency. And, says Siemens, Kennedy did them a favor by setting a realistic deadline for the moon landing.
He definitely set a time limit. Matter of fact, we had to get him to relax it a little bit. Just before he made a speech to Congress, we got a transcript of what he was going to say. Ted Sorensen had written the speech and sent it over, and we were horrified to see that I was going to say 1967, and we felt that the pressure would be too great, and we didn't feel that the country should stick its neck out to that extent. Ted Sorensen said, well, what would you like to say? And somewhat in desperation, we said, within the decade.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
Any major endeavor has got to have goals set for the individuals involved that they believe are doable, that they can see that it's something that they can attain. It's going to stretch them a little bit, but they know in their heart of hearts it's important and they can do it.
But the leaders of the new Department of Homeland Security will not have it so easy.
Here you have a dozen priorities already, and we got to do them all by the close of business or else.
Paul Light of the Brookings Institution says the challenge for the Department of Homeland Security will be to set priorities for its many goals, goals that are crowded together under one huge mission.
Preventing terrorism. But the Bush administration rightly notes that that's an impossible goal to achieve.
Doesn't the mission have to be doable for everyone to believe in it to get it done?
Well, I think they believe that they're going to be able to prevent a great number of terrorist attacks, but the people inside the department are going to have to try everything they can to prevent while also doing everything they can to prepare. And that creates a very sobering mission, one that contains within the seeds of the mission a sense of potential failure.
Light says one thing that can help an agency move quickly can also force it to move too quickly, a sense of crisis, like this one 25 years ago.
The energy crisis has not yet overwhelmed us, but it will if we do not act quickly.
President Jimmy Carter speaking to the nation in the late 1970s, a decade that seemed to sputter along on a quarter tank of gas. There were long lines and high prices at the pump. Demand for oil was way up. Supply was down. If things didn't change, said Carter, by the early 80s, the world would need more oil than it could produce.
Our decision about energy will test the character of the American people. This difficult effort will be the moral equivalent of war.
Lawyer Andrew Zalsner was among the first people to work at the new Department of Energy, founded in the Carter administration. It merged workers from many different agencies, and its primary goal was to reduce American dependence on foreign oil.
You were always sort of running to catch up. Sort of like today, you had things where instant response was not possible. So you had to take actions knowing full well that it would take months or years before those actions would begin to bear fruit.
At least you had a sense of mission, and that must have been a good thing.
Yes. If you look at the people that were attracted to the Energy Department, we got an unusual number of unbelievably smart and capable people. It was the place to be in the United States government dealing with the most serious issue that faced the U.S. at that time.
You had to bring together people from different disciplines, perhaps even different cultures. The people in the oil business, as they say in Texas, mm-hmm. and people involved in nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. people that had ideas for solar and wind and all of this. Was there a clash among these groups?
Yeah, there were really three or four separate cultures. Everything from the very brash, very young people, very aggressive, to a very to people from very traditional agencies. And those cultures didn't get along very well. Many of them didn't want to even co-locate.
Energy workers in the Washington area are still spread out over several buildings. Bureaucracy expert Paul Light says even after decades, the different subcultures of an agency never gel completely.
There is no cohesive culture at Department of Energy, and I think it's fair to say 25 years after its creation that the Department of Energy is less than a sum of its parts. And to the extent that the Homeland Security plan is dependent on a common culture, we're going to be waiting a little bit, and we ought not to put too much pressure on the department to come together as a cohesive unit overnight.
But it is the happening place to be in Washington now, so that will attract the top talent, won't it?
It's also a very difficult place to be. No matter how much the Bush administration and the department warns us that there will be a terrorist attack, when the next terrorist attack occurs, Congress and the media, good government types like me, are going to look to the Homeland Security Department and say, who's responsible for this?
And at the other extreme, if God willing, we don't have an attack, then the urgency has passed, right? People will say, well, why do we still have all those people involved in this?
Well, that's the balancing act that they're in right now. I don't know. I read the president's Homeland Security plan, and I found it very sobering. It's maybe 10 times squared the reorganization that NASA was. The many different directions that the department is expected to go make it the most complicated merger and acquisition in organizational history. And I mean organizational history. It makes the Roman conquest of Egypt seem like child's play.
The president's plan for the Department of Homeland Security would merge all or parts of 22 government entities. But, says Paul Light, keep this in mind, even bureaucracies change. So no matter what the new department looks like by the end of this year, says Light, don't get too used to it. In 2 years, or maybe 10, it'll be very different.